On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
All right, boys and girls out there in podcast land, this is Mark from the Hard Rocking Trivia Show with a couple of announcements before we start this episode of the show. Just letting you know that we did record this, and I had some technical snafus. I actually plugged in the wrong cord and the wrong whatever, and so we recorded this show and it didn't come out right, so we're going to have to do it over again. So I figured I'd do this little quick intro there to let you know why it took a little longer than we thought it would. First off, I wanted to let everybody know out there that there's a pretty cool documentary on Paramount Plus. It's called I Want to Rock, the 80s Metal Dream. It's a three-part documentary featuring Snake Sabo, John Karabi, Janet Gardner, Kip Winger, and Dee Snider. It's pretty cool. It's very enlightening. Could be emotional for some people, so check it out. It's really, really well done. So, and on the other note, we still have Spotify playlists. Remember, it's free with commercials, or you pay, I think, $10.99 without commercials. We have three playlists that we're slowly building. We have one called Hard Rock and 70s, which is obviously 70s songs, hard rock. 80s, hard rock and 80s playlist, you find that. There's a little heart next to the title of the playlist. Click on that so you can subscribe to it. Again, it's free. And the one that's the biggest we have was all eras. It's called HRTS Rock Playlist. I think we got like 28 people on that. So if you guys could do that for us, that'd be great. And you can also listen to this show on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, Apple, iHeartRadio, whatever. This show is on a lot of platforms. Go ahead and subscribe to that so you can get every single episode. And I think that's it for the announcements. Now let's get into the Metallica review featuring... It was two nights at Giant Stadium featuring Mammoth, WVH, Ice Nine Kills, Pantera, and Five Finger Death Punch opening. So Danny and his brother Tony and Tony's kids were there. They had a great time, and we're going to do that review over again. And hopefully I'll record it, and you're going to be hearing it right about now.
All right, everybody. My brother and I went to a couple of concerts this past weekend. We went to both Metallica shows up in MetLife Stadium in, New Brunswick? No.
East Rutherford,
New Jersey. Yep. Where the Giants and the Jets play. But anyway, the stadium was enormous. Holds 80,000 people. And it was packed both nights. Yeah. So, but... Really looking forward to it. This is one where they play Friday night and a Sunday night in the same place. They play completely different sets. It's called the No Repeat Weekend. So Friday night's one set, Saturday night or Sunday night's all different songs. But so I was kind of looking forward to that. That's a lot of Metallica. I think total is like 32 or 33 songs.
Wow. And two opening bands on each night, which are completely different.
Yep. Yep. So Friday night was Mammoth and Pantera. We gave ourselves about 4 hours to get up there, and it should have been about 2 hours drive, but it took us 5 hours to get there.
Yikes!
Almost five and a half. So we completely missed Mammoth, which sucks because I'm a big Wolfie fan. And I was also really looking forward to seeing Pantera, but so I dropped my brother and his sons off. Or they got out of the cars. We're just sitting in traffic, just sitting. We can see the stadium. We can hear Mammoth playing. We can hear them, but so I said, y'all go ahead. I'll park and I'll be in there hopefully before Metallica's done. But so we can hear Mammoth and they, you know, it's cool, but all that. Anyway, we missed Mammoth. So my brother and his son saw most of Pantera, I guess, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit more than half, because halfway through, drummer switched sides and went to the other side of the stage to play on a different set. And I think that that was probably their halfway mark.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. And I got in my seat, sat down when they started Cowboys from Hell, which was the last song they played. So I got to see him play one song, but I heard him playing Walk as I'm walking in the stadium. So I could hear that anyway. But then I saw him play Cowboys from Hell, and they sounded great.
Yeah, luckily for you, you can see all the shows on YouTube. In fact, before we came on today, I watched Cowboys from Hell.
Yeah,
on YouTube. So,
yeah,
but I'm sure. Nice.
So those that don't know, if they haven't seen, the stage is round, and it's just like there's a pit in the middle. They call it the Snake Pit. You could buy tickets for that. And it takes up probably, this was on a football field, so it took probably from the 30 to the 30. So it was a big stage and the entire width of a football field. So it was a circle, and they set up two drum sets for Pantera. They just set up one for Mammoth from what I've seen.
Other bands had just one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for Metallica.
Yeah, Metallica, we'll get into that in a minute. But so Pantera was cool. Then I guess it was about 45 minutes or so break in between. Then Metallica came on. And the lights are going down. And they have these gigantic pillars that have lights on them and TV screens on like three sides. And they're enormous.
Are these pillars on the field surrounding the stage? Is that how it's set up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're probably 20, 30 feet away from the edge of the stage, but they're on the floor of the arena. And it was cool because you could watch whatever's showing on the cameras from anywhere in the stadium because they were high enough up that you could see it anywhere.
Yeah, and one kind of cool thing about it is that the monitors on those towers have a different camera view. So at times when they did it, when I think they seemed to do it right, was that they'd have a camera on each guy and a picture of them on each tower. So it was really cool. You could see anybody in the band playing their part. Now, it wasn't consistently like that. They did, I think, have some problems with it. You know, at some points they had the camera.
Particularly on Friday. Yeah.
Staring at a guitar neck or something like that was a little off. And I don't know if that's because the cameras might be automated or something. But it seemed to be, to me, that the right way to do it would have been to have a camera on each guy and a different tower showing each player. Because the video on the tower was round. You know, the TV screens were round. So you could see a screen, you know, all seven screens from where you're sitting. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. And they showed videos on those for some of the songs, like Ride the Lightning. They were showing, like, lightning striking different things. And For Whom the Bell Tolls, they showed this giant bell ringing back and forth. But most of the time, they were showing guys in the band.
Now, from where you guys were sitting, you guys weren't nosebleeds. You're probably about halfway up, right?
We're about halfway up, maybe a third of the way up, because that place is so big.
One nostril bleed, not two.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not both. But we were in the 200 section, so the 100 section was down right off the floor, then us. Then there was a third, 300 and a 400 level. The 400 level, they're way, way up there.
So it looks like a bunch of ants on a piece of toast for those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a donut.
Okay. That was, got it.
Yeah.
I would say, Dan, that was probably the largest section, right? I mean, that section was
huge. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most of the people were up in that 400 level, and it was – but anyway, Metallica came on, and Friday night they started with oh, shoot.
Is it Creeping Death?
Creeping Death, yeah.
Yes.
And that was – it was so good. And when you get 80,000 people all chanting, die, 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 and, you know, raising their fists in the air, it was like, holy crap. You mobilize all these people, we're taking over a city or whatever. It's unbelievable.
All right, question. Backtracking a bit. I remember in the 80s, I used to go to certain shows, especially out here in L.A., and you see all these religious people telling us we're going to go to hell at a show. Like, I remember that happened at Kiss. Anything like that in the parking lot, too, where people think, oh, these guys are going to hell?
We didn't see any, but on our way out, someone mentioned it. As we're walking out, a guy next to me said, oh, the Hare Krishnas are gone.
Oh, okay. So,
I didn't see any of it or hear about any of it at all.
Yeah. Maybe all those people passed away. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Friday night, I was too pissed to see anything.
I think those people that were doing that out front of the concert were the ones that were sacrificed during the Ice Nine Kills gig.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
All right.
Oh, man. So I thought Metallica's sound was not great. When they came on Sunday, I was like, whoa, okay. They must have turned the amps on or something. turned all the amps on Sunday night compared to Friday night because something wasn't right. They sounded okay. I mean, you could hear everything. And compared to Pantera and the other opening bands, they definitely used all the sound system when the opening bands didn't get that. Have that luxury.
That kind of sucks. I think everybody should have 100% access to everything. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't do that. Nope.
Nope.
So I wasn't real. I mean, the set was good. You know, if I had been asked what the set list should be, I would have put a lot more metal songs in there. They played most of their slow songs, but between Friday and Sunday, they played just about all their slow songs, which they didn't need to do. You know, they could have played Jump Into the Fire. They could have played the entire first album for all I would like to have heard. But
on the first night, what was the best song and the worst song in you guys' opinions?
Friday night, I really liked Creeping Death. I liked Holier Than Thou. That was probably my favorite song of the night. I don't know. They played Orion, then Nothing Else Matters. They played a new song, Shadows Fall, all right in a row, and it was just like, okay. And they had another lull in their set list on Sunday, which with a catalog like Metallica, you don't need a lull. You can just bash them over the head the entire time, and people would love it.
Are they playing 2 hours, 3 hours? What are they playing?
They played right about 2 hours. They were done just before 11. They came on at 8:45.
Yeah.
So, but
you know, Dan, there was one part when I think it was the second day Metallica said something like, "Do you guys?" He was like asking himself, "Do you guys really like this? Is this good?" You know, he was like, it was like he was surveying the crowd, asking if we liked it, and I think it was a genuine question.
Well, it was right before they started one of the new songs. And he goes, "So you guys like the 72 seasons, huh?" Well, yeah, dude, but get on with the metal.
Yeah.
Everybody's passing their pencil and sheets of paper.
Right? Yeah.
He's giving us a survey. We're going to take this.
Survey.
Hey.
All right.
Hey, no, I did get a survey from Ticketmaster this morning about the concert itself.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So they ended the set great with Battery, Fuel, Seek and Destroy, and Master of Puppets. Which is awesome.
Nice.
So good. Between the two set lists, I like Sunday better, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Well, you're also still extremely pissed for the 5-hour drive, so maybe that could have factored into
Probably so, but, you know, I got that out once Creeping Death and Holier Than Thou played, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there. After that first song, Dan looked over at me and was like, yeah, all right, we're rocking it.
Okay, good.
We're awesome. Yep. Okay, so, and then we got out of there pretty easy. We parked in a parking garage that was across the street, and we got out easy, so that was cool.
We got real easy the second day. We'll tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah. Later. Yeah.
So basically, from where you guys live, I think Danny said he was an hour and a half away, and Tony's 2.5 hours away, basically.
Yeah.
With no traffic, yeah.
Without traffic, yes.
Yeah. But, we're straight up the Jersey Turnpike.
Ooh.
So if anybody's going, just go early.
Like 5 hours early?
Well, for us, yeah, it would have been 5 hours. Would have been nice, but.
And apparently before that, there was two bands playing in the parking lot. So if you get there super early, the bands were Prong and Overkill. So
that's pretty cool.
So if Danny probably would have known that, he would have left even earlier, I'm going to guess. But so the rest of you guys in the other cities around Canada and the U.S., just get there 5 hours early.
Yeah, if you want a shirt, you better add another half hour. At least.
Yeah, go inside for the shirts. Don't get them outside because the lines are longer outside.
Yeah, they have the official shirts outside the stadium, not from the dudes that are just selling them from they have a bag of shirts on their back, but they have official shirts available outside, but the lines are shorter inside. So Friday, we left there going, yeah, that was a good show. Really good show. So then we get up there Sunday, and we're probably about an hour and a half early.
Yay!
Yeah, we got there. Well, we got there about 4:45, and the show started at 6.
Doors opened at 4:30.
Yeah. So we got there, we got some shirts, got in our seats, and then Ice Nine Kills came on, and I didn't know what to expect. I hadn't heard anything from them. I purposely didn't. I knew all the other bands, but I purposely didn't try to listen to Ice Nine Kills before we went. And
why is that?
I just didn't want to know anything about them. I wanted to see what it was like without knowing the music.
Okay.
So, it's not very often that I've done that. Usually when I go to a show, I know all their songs. Like when we go see Mammoth in November, I'm going to know all the songs, no question. But that's more about watching them play than, like, what is this? But Ice Nine Kills was more of a theatrical thing than I was expecting. I mean, they all came out in tuxedos. They came out with two extra guys dressed like Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, had masks and leather aprons on, carrying chainsaws on stage with them.
Ooh, scary.
Yeah, very scary. At 6 o'clock in the, it's like bright daylight outside, and these guys, it wasn't the venue for their show, I don't think. I mean, because usually if you see somebody getting chopped up with an axe, at the end of the song, lights go down, the guy can walk off stage without being noticed. This time, a lady got her throat slit, and she passed out, and he pretended to stab her over and over and over again, and then the song's over. She just gets up and walks off. Like, what? So it was kind of a weird thing, but
it was a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. But they killed somebody in every song.
Someone has to die.
Yeah. Knife, axe, chainsaw, another axe, another knife.
So these guys are like old school Alice Cooper or Wasp, basically.
Yeah, kinda. I'd like to see them in a club setting, like at a 1,000-seat place where you can control the lights more and have more of a theater experience than broad daylight.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And, they didn't have their sound, like they didn't have 100% of the sound system. So it was kind of hard to hear what they were doing.
Musically. I thought they were pretty good. I mean, I thought they played well. And I like their sound okay. Just the theatrics were a little distracting.
Yeah, because I'm sitting there watching, okay, they just cut this guy's head off with an axe. What's going to happen? Oh, is there blood? No, there's no blood. Okay. I don't know.
And you couldn't really make out the lyrics. The thing, yeah, if you had listened to them before and you knew what the songs were about, then maybe you'd have some context. But their sound wasn't so good that you could understand what they're saying if you hadn't heard them before.
Yeah. And with the sound, it was a lot of drums and just a roar of guitars. You know, you couldn't really make out, like, Metallica came on that night and the sound was perfect. You could hear every instrument. You could hear every drum. It was cool.
Was Pantera pretty clear too?
Well, for the one song I heard, they were.
But yeah, they were okay.
The sound wasn't any better than Metallica.
Yeah. No.
All right, so we get Ice Nine Kills is done. They play like 40 minutes or so. And, you know, they got a pretty good ovation. Then Five Finger Death Punch comes on. And I was kind of looking forward to them because I've been listening to them recently. And I like them a lot. They're very hard, but also they have some melody to it. And they were great.
Yeah, they were good.
Really good.
Okay. I have to listen. I know one song by those guys.
That Lifted Up or something like that?
It's the one with Halford on it. That's all I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they have some great songs, and they, the one thing though, they played a cover of Bad Company.
Yeah, that was a video. I know that. I knew.
Yeah,
that.
You don't.
I've heard that before.
You don't need that.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? They have like 6 albums out. Why are you playing a cover? But you could ask Metallica the same thing. Why'd they play Whiskey in the Jar?
Yeah, I could understand a warm-up band playing a cover just because people may not know them very well. But the headliner should not be playing a cover. Well, that doesn't make it.
Well, we're old guys, so we know Thin Lizzy and we know Bad Company. But if there's a bunch of 20-year-olds in there, they have no clue those are covers.
They probably thought, ooh, that's a Bad Company. That's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good song in 78, too.
Yeah. Speaking of clueless, my son wore a Metallica shirt to school yesterday. A Ride the Lightning cover.
Yeah.
He can't name one song.
Not even Ride the Lightning, huh?
Not even a clue. I go, you know what that album cover means? I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah, these are Tyler has... they got a bunch of graphic. These are graphic tees. Yeah, he says, yeah, I used to wear those are concert shirts.
No. I saw that tour.
Yeah. Not a clue. My kids.
Hey, Ty-Ty.
So
that's Tyler. He's the main dude.
So they started the concert with AC/DC. Before the band comes out, they play, what song was
it? It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Wait, question. Both days. Question
they
for
have
Tyler.
The same intro both days.
Name 3 AC/DC songs.
To Tyler?
Yeah. Let's see.
All right, come on.
Name 3 AC/DC songs?
Yep. Yeah. No.
Okay.
If you wear the shirt, you got to do it, right?
Yeah, if not, you have to take the shirt off. Yeah.
All right, well, you already named one.
What did I say?
It's a Long Way to the Top, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, one.
Okay.
Rock and Roll, and then Hell's Bells, 2. And then...
She's looking at the shirt.
He's looking at the shirt. Well, that's got a song on it, but...
Yeah, and then For Those About the Rock. What?
All right.
Yeah.
We'll count that. And then my favorite one, Dirty Deeds.
Oh.
Okay.
A bonus. All right. All right. You're in the club. You're good to go.
You can wear the shirt.
Black. That's another good one. Well.
Tyler has that same shirt. The Ride the Lightning cover.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
I was telling him about my son who has the Metallica shirt but can't name one damn song. He listens to rap. It's embarrassing.
Tyler was rocking out more than all of us at this concert, because he's probably, out of our house, he's probably the biggest Metallica fan.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's probably a bigger fan than I am, but I like him a lot, but...
He listens to him for his workouts.
Nice.
Good for...
That's why Tyler's all buff.
Yeah, they're my fuel.
Yeah. Your Uncle Dan saw Metallica in a small club opening for another band. in 1983, I believe. It was 84.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way back in the
day. I was telling you about Raven, when they opened for Raven, and it was the Kill 'Em All for One tour.
And Raven's still a club band. I think they live in Northern Virginia, actually.
Well, they outweigh Metallica, that's for sure.
That's true.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, I saw them on the their Kill 'Em All tour opening for Raven. That was...
God, that was cool. A long-ass time ago.
40 years ago?
Yeah.
Jeez.
God, I'm getting old. Yeah. We used to be cool back in the day, all three of us.
Where did you see them?
In Georgetown. What was that little club?
Is that 930 Club?
No.
That's still around.
Yeah. I saw Butch Walker there.
Okay.
I don't remember the name of it. Just a tiny club.
What was the name of that club near our house where we live that you guys would...
Jack's.
Yeah.
Before that, it was called something else. The Wild West.
Wild West, yeah.
Was that the one next to the Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before that, it was a $1 movie theater. I saw The Jerk in there a long time ago.
Nice. Yeah, I remember seeing Talas there.
Yeah. Oh, you saw him with me then.
Yeah. So with Billy Sheehan playing video games?
Yep.
Between sets?
Yep.
Nice.
I can't believe that. Is that place still around?
I don't know.
Right, we got off on a tangent there.
Tony and I saw Union there.
No, you saw him with me, too.
Is that you?
I
didn't see a Union there.
Okay.
I saw a Union on Long Island at a bar in Long Island.
No, I came back east to go to a wedding, and after the wedding was over, I drove over to
Texas,
and Danny and I saw Union. We were like 2 feet from them.
Oh, yeah, like right. We were right in front of Bruce Kulick.
Yeah.
And not to get off on a tangent, but they need to still be around. That was a great band.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, Sunday, I thought the Metallica set list was a lot better. They start out with Whiplash, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. Greatest lyrics ever.
Ever?
that was a joke.
Okay.
Then they did For Whom the Bell Tolls and Ride the Lightning, which, you know, they can keep that pace up the whole show. They don't need to do The Unforgiven and Call of Cthulhu. Oh.
Sorry. I agree, Dan. If they had kept that pace, we would have left saying they melted our faces. That would have
been
awesome.
So they play the first four songs. They also played Memory Remains. And then they played a couple new ones. Lux Aeterna, which is a great song. I love that. Then they played Too Far Gone, which shouldn't play that again. Then they played Sanitarium, which is probably my favorite Metallica song. And that was awesome.
Okay. The reason why they probably slowed down a bit, I'm going to guess because Lars is basically our age, and you can't play stuff like Blackened and all that stuff off the first album, too. At that pace for 2 hours, your arms are going to fall off.
Totally agree. He was an animal and just, I mean, he was sweating bullets after the first song.
Oh, yeah.
And he, to me, he looked pretty skinny, you know, just like, I mean, I wouldn't say like healthy skinny.
He was a stick.
Oh, yeah, okay. He was a stick. And to be a power drummer like that, you got to have some weight behind you, I think.
So they... After Sanitarium, they played You Must Burn, which is a new song, and that was good. Then they did the extended jazz version of Call of Cthulhu. Oh, my God. And then The Unforgiven. I was like, oh, this is not only a bathroom song, but a go get your car washed and get a, you know, piece of cheesecake or something.
One for the ladies. Yay.
Yeah. And then Wherever I May Roam, which is okay, but, you know, that's kind of a slow song, too.
That's the one with the sitar at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good song.
It's all right.
I love that song.
But after the other two, you're like, okay, let's pick it up a little bit. But then they ended up with Moth Into the Flame, Blackened, Whiskey in the Jar, which I kind of wish they had, if they were going to do a cover, they would have done Oh, shit. Am I evil?
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of...
I'd rather have heard that.
Could you see Phil Lynott looking down on that stadium and saying, hey, they're playing a version of our song. That's pretty cool. I don't know. It's a cool song. It's not my favorite Thin Lizzy song, but it's basically... It's an Irish folk song that they rocked up. But still,
right.
A little nod to Thin Lizzy can't hurt anybody.
Then they ended with One and Enter Sandman, which to hear 80,000 people sing the chorus of Enter Sandman was unbelievable. You couldn't hear the band at all.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Virginia Tech football team didn't run out during that around the stage.
Nice.
You know, we've been to plenty of Tech games, and they sing that when the team's coming out. But I've never heard it as loud as that night with Metallica.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And going off on a tangent, what the hell's going on with college football?
There's going to be one conference.
Oh. Oh, God. And the latest one I heard was, oh, maybe Cal and Stanford to the ACC. I'm like, what?
I heard something was they were going to talk about some rumors about the ACC. Cal and Stanford?
And maybe,
in the Atlantic
Conference? Maybe SMU. What? It's stupid. I mean, USC and UCLA are already going, and Oregon and Washington going to the Big Ten is a joke, too. But you know what? Football, you can kind of get away with it. Imagine if you're playing on the field hockey team. Oh, USA, let's go to Rutgers. Whoa, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. It's a seven-hour flight.
Yeah, we're making all these millions off of football, but, I mean, what about the other sports?
Yeah.
And all that, all those flights. It's going to eat up a lot of that money you're bringing in there. It's just stupid, I think. But anyway, back to Metallica.
Stupid.
Idiots.
So other than the lull in the middle of Sunday's set, I thought Sunday was a lot better.
Okay.
And they were still both great.
And you got there on time.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, good.
I mean, I'm glad we saw Ice Nine Kills. You know, that's not a band I would have gone to see. Just if they were in Philly or Baltimore. Yeah.
I'll go
you can add them to your list. What were they number 248 now for you?
Yeah, they were the 248th band that I've seen.
Oh, my God.
I've been keeping track.
I should try it. I don't know if Mark? I'm probably close to that. I don't know.
Yeah, you need to track that. You need to – well, that's – That's going to be dusting off the cobwebs there to track that, huh?
Yeah,
it's tough because you got to figure you're keeping you're talking about opening bands also, not just concerts, but opening bands. But see, I see a lot of shows at the Grand.
Yeah.
So I go bartend, and then when the bars close, I go in and watch the band. So you're going to go see Morris Day and the Time?
I would. I would.
Yeah. They were great.
Absolutely, I would.
I wouldn't pay for a ticket to go see them, but they were great.
Yeah.
Oh, check it out.
Yeah.
Jungle Love.
Early 80s Prince revival.
Oh, man, it was.
Yeah, they were there from the beginning.
They were great.
Absolutely. I would go see bands like, well, especially Free. Come on.
Yeah. Going to see Roger McGuinn.
Oh, and the Grants. Yeah, I'll go see him. I don't care for him, but sure.
Well, if I'm going to be there bartending, I might as well go see him. I mean, I saw Jim Messina.
Oh, from Loggins and Messina?
Yeah, and Poco. And the guy, every song, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I know that. You did that? You wrote that song? What the hell? It was unbelievable. Oh, but, okay. Cool. You know, seeing people like that, it's like, man, that's really cool.
I don't know if I can waste 5 hours of my time going through and finding all the bands I've seen. But knowing me, I'll probably do it this weekend. Oh, I got 5 hours to kill. Let's go see how many bands I've seen.
I have them on my phone. I got to try to remember some of them. I mean, like all the opening bands we saw for Van Halen.
I think we saw After the Fire. We saw The Fools.
Yep. Bourgeois Tag.
Yeah, we did see Bourgeois Tag.
Yep.
I saw Saint Paradise, which was before I met you. You remember St. Paradise?
Yep. You and I talked about it. I don't remember the band, but also Kool and the Gang last time
Yeah,
Van Halen came through. They opened.
And I missed that, too. And I heard Cool in the Gang.
They opened for Van Halen.
They were great. I mean, Cool you got to. Yeah, they opened for Van Halen. And that was the thing. When David Lee Roth was fronting Van Halen, they got the weirdest opening bands. But Cool in the Gang, you can't expect them to be playing Metallica songs. If you know what Cool in the Gang is, they were perfect for Cool in the Gang.
Lots of hits.
Oh, man. One after the other, so.
Yeah, cool. I would stay for Cool in the Gang, just to say. I like some of those songs, but don't tell anybody out there, okay?
Don't tell the Hard Rock and Trivia Show fans.
Yeah, don't say. Oh, I got a weird thing. I got an email today from somebody from Patreon. You know what Patreon is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were saying, hey, do you want to do a work with Patreon for your podcast? But, which is basically... it's an extra thing where people pay money and you give them bonus content. I'm thinking, nah, we don't have the time. We barely have enough time to put this out.
Yeah, we do this an hour every other week.
Yeah, and it's tough getting us together to do this. And that means we have to do bonus stuff. Nah.
All the bonus stuff is going to be burping and chewing. And what the hell was that? Wait, let me look it up.
Yeah, but yeah, if we had 100,000 listeners, and yeah, you could make some money off of this, and we could supplement our incomes. But when you got about 150, we're doing this for fun, and it's free for everybody. I'm sorry, Patreon, but we're gonna have to pass unless you guys give us 100,000 each, then we'll do it.
Yeah,
it's free.
You want people. Our content?
Yeah, we don't have the time. Unless we can retire right now, 200,000 apiece, then we'll retire and we'll give you shows every day. Other than that, no, ain't happening.
Shows every day.
If I won that $1.5 billion yesterday,
I'd retire immediately.
What they need to do is pay you to go to these concerts and review them, and so you get the tickets for free, and they get something out of it.
That would be great.
Would that be a good deal?
That'd be a great deal. Yeah. Don't see it happening.
that reminds me one thing. Tony and I are talking about going to see Dead Daisies in 2 weeks.
You should go.
Over in Jersey.
That musicianship in a small little club. Oh.
Two of the guys were in Whitesnake.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
And you can see, I guess they have every year they do a concert in Encino for Ronnie James Dio, and one of the guys, the newest bass player in Dead Daisies, he's a guy named Michael Devon, and he sings lead on those songs. That guy can sing.
I mean, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Adrian Vandenberg, this is a small little park we used to play basketball in, and there you go. There's Doug Aldrich. There's Rudy Sarzo. There's Michael Devon, all these guys playing Dio songs. I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. But yeah.
And playing them right.
Yeah. No, perfect. Dead Daisies, you should go for sure. Because I want to go, and I think they're playing at the end of this month. So,
definitely. They're playing in Vineland, New Jersey, August 23rd, and I think the day before up outside of Philly, but it's like way up, like north of Lancaster.
Oh, whatever's closer.
Yeah, Vineland, New Jersey. Plus, I think it's a real tiny club.
Oh, got to go.
Yeah, it's only like a half hour for you, I think.
Right? It's almost an hour.
Oh, okay.
I mapped it out, but...
Leave early, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, you're late, you're going to miss the whole damn thing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, we can...
So, we give two thumbs way up for Metallica. So, splurge and go both nights. I spent $280 for both nights, so not too bad. Plus, you're getting two different sets from Metallica and four opening bands. So,
well, and to me, it was you're paying a lot for the experience of being there with 80,000 people, and you know they did not skimp on one bit. You know, they went all out on the expense, and you know, we were talking before, they have 87 tractor trailers carrying the stage and the equipment around. It's not a big thing.
And we didn't talk about the drums.
Yeah.
when the lights went out, there were no drums on stage at all. I'm thinking, all right, what the hell is going to come flying in or what?
He's playing the tambourine.
But, yeah.
With his facial expressions.
Yeah, with the way he does his face with his tongue out. And but what happened is they played the AC/DC song, and then the lights went down, and they played that Gold Escape or something, whatever song it is from that Western movie.
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Fistful of Dollars, one of those.
Oh, yeah, some.
Oh,
right.
That one, yeah.
Yeah.
So they played that with the lights down, and then you could kind of see a drum set coming up from under the floor. Like they opened up the floor and the drum set came up. But what they did is they would play like four or five songs, and then the lights would go out again, and then another drum set would come up in a different quadrant of the stage. So he'd walk about a quarter of the way around, and he'd start playing that drum set and do that for four songs, and then lights go down again, and then he'd move around. So there were four different drum sets that he played.
All identical. Identical.
Did he have to jump over the dead bodies left there from Nine Ice Kills?
Yeah. No, because they just got up and walked off stage.
Oh, that's right. They came back to life. That's right.
Yeah, they weren't really dead.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool how he was close. He was like right in front of the people in the pit or right up against the stage. At one point or another, he was very close to everybody. So
it
was
cool. And his kit would rotate in the place that it's in. So everybody would kind of get a good vantage point.
That way everybody could see his face.
I don't remember. It was a slow song on the second day that he brought a kid up on the stage and let the kid stand right behind him as he played drums on it.
It was the second day, and that was the Unforgiven.
It was? Okay. That was Lucky Kid.
Was it his kid? Maybe?
I don't know if it was his kid. He didn't say anything about it. The kid just stood there.
Yeah, stood there and walked back off.
Cool. I was hoping the kid would get up there and play Unforgiven. That'd be at least interesting.
I'm getting sleepy just hearing the song title, The Unforgiven.
Yeah. I dubbed thee the Unforgiven.
The video is bad, too. Oof. Anyway, we've talked about that in the past. Okay, well, seems like you guys had an awesome time.
It was great. Tony asked his son, so was that an awesome concert or what? Of course, Tyler was like, that was the most amazing thing ever.
Which is cool because they're always going to remember the experience with you guys. Yeah, I went with my dad and my uncle. We went to see Metallica in New Jersey. They're going to always remember that.
And these were the two guys that we also took them to see Soto Beeler up in Philly. And I think they were much less impressed with that.
It's a different thing. Tyler
did not care for that. Justin liked that more than Tyler, the Justin Beeler or Jason Beeler event. Tyler liked the Metallica event more. Because I think Justin is more into Saigon Kick.
Okay. So we're saying Tyler is more metal.
Tyler is definitely full out 100% all the time.
And they're both lacrosse players, right? Or one of them still a lacrosse player?
Well Tyler plays lacrosse. And Justin is a mountain biker.
Same.
Yeah.
You should see Justin. You should see Justin's legs. You got to see Justin's legs. They are unbelievable.
They're huge. Yeah, he's
huge.
He's like really competitive on the regional beyond the state level. He's in a Mid-Atlantic series right now, and he's ranked first. He's killing it.
Awesome. So
he was on a race today before we started this that he came in second in the pro elite category, which was, you know, ex-pros pretty much.
So, Tony, we have a special gift for you right here. This is your award for Father of the Year. Here you go. And Danny, yours? Uncle of the Year.
Ooh, hey.
There you go.
That's true. I'm the coolest uncle ever.
Wow. Nice. So, and I think we can end that review on a high note there. You guys.
Yep. Sounds like go see Metallica. They're awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
You hear from the guys. Go do it. And we're going to give you a commercial break right now.
Now it's time to cover this.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's time for some Cover This, where we play a 30-second clip of a cover song. Sometimes we've been able to pick a song that we thought, wait, that's not a cover. That's the original. Nope, it's a cover. So, Mark, I've got one for you that I think is going to be, you'll get the covering band, but I don't know if you know who did this originally. So let's give it a listen.
Okay, Tony, you're playing along because you get to guess first. You're representing the rest of America. I'm
ready. All right, here we go.
All right, ready? Oh, let's listen to this. Go ahead, Danny, play it.
Well, what do you think? Do you think you got it? Or, Tony, you know any idea who that band was playing?
Def Leppard.
Yes.
Nice.
Any idea? Did you know that was a cover song?
No, I did not.
I didn't know that, either.
That is from the album X.
No! Okay.
And that is a cover song.
No, I think it's on a different album. That's not on X. Only.
Oh, no, that's Retroactive.
It's on Yeah, Retroactive is right.
I was looking at a different song on X, but...
Only After Dark. I didn't know it was a cover.
Yep.
So we have to guess the cover, the original artist.
The guy that wrote it had it on his solo album, and then another much, much larger artist did it like 2 years later on his album. Then Def Leppard covered it, you know, fairly recently.
So it's a one person is the original artist. It's not a band.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
You know this person though.
I do know this artist. I'm gonna say, is it Ian Hunter?
No, not a bad guess though.
All right. Is it
Tony? Any guess at all?
Rick Springfield.
Oh, way off.
Is it how about Mick Ronson?
Yes. You suck so bad.
Well, I missed
but you
it
got
already.
It wrong.
Yeah, I got it wrong. So
he had it on his solo album, and then David Bowie covered it.
Yeah, because he was in the Spiders from Mars.
Right. Well, that's where Mick was.
I love that Def Leppard version of it. I didn't know it was a cover. I had no clue.
Yep.
So Danny has stumped me and the rest of America. Congratulations.
All right.
But I'm sure there's some Def Leppard freaks out there. They knew that one. We
suck. Well, y'all knew it was a Def Leppard song, so.
Yeah. Tony, that was good. And it was Def Leppard. Good job.
Because yep, that's not a common Def Leppard song, that's for sure.
That's why you're the person who's been on twice and not once. So. maybe Dana's been on a little bit more. Dana's probably popped in her head more times. Annie's only been on one time, okay? Once, Annie, once. Tony's been on twice. I don't know.
Hey, Annie will get on any time we ask her.
Okay. Well, maybe she needs to start getting some questions ready for us in the future. Okay. All right.
Oh, man. I'm getting a call tomorrow. I know it.
You love having your daughter call you. So this is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Good thing. And when your granddaughters get a little older, we'll put them on too.
Yep.
Yeah. My kids wouldn't have a clue about any of this. None. No.
No. The last time I saw Def Leppard, we were on our way to a baseball game in Baltimore, and we didn't have tickets to the Def Leppard concert. We went to the Orioles game. On the way to the Orioles game, we're walking by the it was called Royal Farm Stadium at the time in Center City, Baltimore. These tour buses pull up, and there's Rick Allen in the front seat of the bus.
Cool.
He's got his arms over the edge. Arm. Arm. He's got his arm over the edge. Thank you. And he's looking, you know, he's just riding in the front of the bus looking out. And I was like, I took a double take. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I backed up and I, you know, they're walking over with the family. And they, I said, wait a minute, stay right here. And I went around to where the bus was waiting at a traffic light. And I'm like, Rick Allen, yes, rock and roll. And then, you know, during the whole baseball game, I'm thinking, you know what, maybe there are some tickets still left for that Def Leppard Journey concert. And sure enough, was, and we went to go see it.
Nice. So you saw an Orioles game and the Def Leppard in the same day?
Same day.
Nice.
Yep.
They're right, like, across the street from each other.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. So cool. And our tickets were half price because it was the day of the concert and they still had seats.
There's a new award coming in here. Here it is. It just came here. Father of the Decade. Okay.
Well, Tyler, it was funny. Tyler didn't want to go.
What?
I know. I don't understand.
Just need to tell him you're going.
Nah, not really interested. Justin was like, yeah. And we freaking loved it. It was awesome. Tyler, yes, I should have said, Tyler, you're coming.
All right.
You don't know what you're missing yet.
Tyler almost lost his rock card there, but okay, good.
Yeah.
He's still good. All right.
Turn in all your graphic tees.
There you go. All right. So we got one more cover.
All right. Let's play this here.
Remember, play along at home. And Danny has to guess this one. This one's not going to be easy for either one of you.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Can you hear that okay, Tony?
Not super clear, but I'm going to guess the band playing was, I don't know, it's a total guess, but either Cinderella or Rat.
Okay. Not a terrible guess, but incorrect.
No. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the voices kind of sounded like Tom Kiefer, but I don't know.
It's the same era, the same years. Yeah. So you're in the ballpark.
Right. My turn?
Yep, go for it.
I'm going to say that's House of Lords.
House of Lords is correct.
Yes. I didn't know that was a cover.
I didn't know either till this morning.
I had no idea who that is, who wrote that.
Now,
band?
Before that, the guy singing backup on that entire album is a guy you may have heard of. His name is Jeff Scott Soto.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's all over this House of Lords album. So, yes, Love Don't Lie is a cover. And the hint is it's by a band, but I'll give you the lead singer of the band because the name of the band is his name and something else. And this particular guy is famous. Well, he's not that famous, but if you ever seen the movie Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
You know when there's a scene where Mark Wahlberg is trying to be a singer?
Mm-hmm.
He's singing a song. You got the touch. You got the power. Well, that's a real song. And the guy really sang that is the guy who originally recorded Love Don't Lie. You guys have any clue who that is?
Yeah. Nope. No clue.
Okay.
No clue.
Yeah, you guys will not get this in a million years. That's a guy named Stan Bush, and the whole band is called Stan Bush and the Barrage. And they're
never heard of
it.
And
the big hit was You Got the Touch, which was a hit because it was on the 1986 soundtrack of the Transformers cartoon movie.
All right.
And that song to me is horrible, but it showed up on a lot of particular soundtracks. And hold on, because my damn son is ringing the doorbell. So hold on. It was not my son. It was two teenage girls coming to see my daughter.
Ah, I'm glad you clarified who they were coming to see.
Yeah, they coming to see the son? Hey, way to go.
Yep, nope. They don't. Well, one of the girls doesn't get along with my son. That's another story. Okay, so back to the show.
Stanford. How old are your kids now? 14?
No, they're 16.
16? 16, okay.
Yeah, this 59-year-old has two 16-year-olds. That's why my wow. my swamp of the hair is gray now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed neither one of you guys have gray hair. What the hell is that all about? I'm jealous.
I got some.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I keep it too short.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe you'll be one of those guys who's in his 70s and you have dark hair. I don't know. I was dyeing my hair 20 years ago. So I got a lot of it, but it's all gray, so you can't win.
Yeah, I'm not dyeing my hair.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass. I stopped.
I won't cut my hair.
Yeah. And Tony, you're just a dreamboat. You know, what can you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys blew it on that one.
We got half a point.
That's okay, because I don't think anybody would have got that Stan Bush and Barrage.
Yeah, really. God.
You got the touch. I love that scene when Mark Wahlberg's singing that. He's so into that. That song's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah.
All of it's so bad. Yeah. But
that movie popped up last week. I'm getting Showtime free for like 3 months, and that movie keeps popping up. Every time I see that movie, what's the first thing that pops up? The opening 5 minutes are in the Reseda Country Club, which Danny went to.
Oh, yeah.
And at the very end of the movie, they show the Reseda Country Club again on the outside. And that scene with the guy getting shot in the head in the donut shop, that's literally right around the corner.
No way.
Yeah, it's all on Sherman Way and Reseda. Yeah. Oh, now it's a church. Oh, well.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're done, guys.
All right, I got to go. Put the Phillies game back on.
Oh, yeah, it's the Phillies. Okay. And what am I going to do? I got to go pick up my son probably and
put this show together.
Hey, Dan, yeah. didn't you go to the Phillies? You didn't go to the Phillies last night, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, how was
it? They moved a game from Monday because of the storm. So it was a doubleheader last night.
All right, hold on. You got to come on camera.
Dad.
Come on, Victoria. There, that's Victoria. Say, you got to get in front. They get in front.
Hi.
Wait, what do you want?
I need a notebook from Walmart, so Karina's going to drive me. She passed her driver's test.
Karina passed her driver's test. Woo!
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. Okay, you make sure she comes back alive. Thank you. All right. You're welcome.
So, damn, Mark, she's pretty. How'd that happen?
Doesn't look like me.
No.
Neither one of my kids look like me.
Okay.
My son has way too much in common with me, though.
Oh, man, you got to hate that.
Yeah. Yeah, and my daughter's a little smarter than my son, so that makes sense. My wife and myself, you get it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a handful.
All right, well, I'm going to go put the Phillies back on.
All right, you watch the Phillies. I'm going to edit this out. I'm probably going to put this out probably Monday.